Lord willing, going to wrap up what we started this morning. And if we can't finish it tonight, we'll just try again another day. But we're in Acts chapter 3, verse 19. If you found your place there, will you stand with me, please? I ask you two questions this morning, and would like to ask you a third question tonight. I ask you this morning, are you converted? And after much prompting, I think I got an answer for most all of you. I ask you the question, are your sins blotted out? And I hope that landed home with some of you. What an amazing thing, what a humbling thought that God would blot out our sins. And tonight I'd like to ask you a third question. Are you living in His presence? Acts chapter 3 and verse 19 says, "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." Our Heavenly Father, we pray your presence to come now. We pray your Holy Spirit would fill our hearts. We pray you'd help us to be completely and utterly surrendered to you, yielded to you in every way. Pray that you would fill us by your Spirit and that you would work in our hearts. For those among us and hearing this message who have never been born again, I pray that you would draw them to yourself, Father. That your Spirit would convict them. That they would realize their great need of salvation. And that even tonight they would repent and believe the gospel. That they would just simply trust in Jesus with that childlike faith that brings salvation. Lord, I just thank you so much for Christ our Savior, for all that you are and all that you've done for us. I pray Jesus would be exalted in our lives tonight and every day. I pray that you would help us to learn to live in your presence moment by moment. And Lord, I just pray that you bless your word in spite of me tonight. Help us to grow in your grace and knowledge. And Lord, we pray that the number of the disciples be multiplied in this place for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. If you are converted, if your sins are blotted out, then you can live in His presence. He says, "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." Well, we've talked about it a little bit this morning, but when does your conversion happen? Well, it happens the moment you repent and trust in Jesus. When are your sins blotted out? The moment that you trust in Him. His blood is applied to your account. Your sins are taken away forever. He died once for all. And there is a day that Christ is coming again, but we've been given the earnest of the Spirit. We are every believer is indwelled with the Spirit of God. We can be filled with the Spirit of God. And we have the promise of Jesus to be with us always. So though He's coming again physically, that we look forward to that coming and seeing Him face to face, we can still enjoy His presence day by day, right now. So I want to share a few scriptures with you tonight and get into that. In Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 to 20, ought to be a very familiar passage to you. Matthew 28, 16 to 20. Hey, let me just take a little side note real quick. I know it's hot outside. I know you guys have had busy weeks. I know a lot of you are real tired. And I know the presentation may not be the greatest in the world, but the content doesn't get any better than this. And so I just want to challenge you tonight to go ahead and fight the flesh. I know you're weary, and I know you're tired, and I have no telling what some of you did today or this week or how late you were up last night or whatever, but I just want to challenge you to fight the flesh and let the Spirit win tonight, to give due diligence, to give attention to the Word of God tonight. Okay? Okay, I promise you, I've been where you're at. I've been where, like with every word, your eyelids just get a little heavier. I know what that's like. I know what it's like to struggle to fight the flesh. And listen, I don't always take it personally. Mostly, I usually do, but I don't always take it personally. I know that you guys are struggling, that you care. You wouldn't be here if you didn't care, but I just want to challenge you to fight through it and give God's word your attention tonight, because these things are vital for us to live in a way. You want to, if you are converted, if your sins have been blotted out, you want to live a life in the presence of Jesus. Amen. You want to walk with him day by day. You want to live a life that glorifies the one who died for you and rose again. I know that you do. I know that you do. And so we want to learn some things that may help us with that tonight. Matthew 28, 16, he says, "Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." This is the Greek word for power that means authority. So Jesus says, "All authority is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations." This word teach means to make disciples. So Jesus said, "I have all authority, and I want you to go under my authority and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you." This is the great commission that Jesus gave, and it's an incredible task that God would call us to go and make disciples of all nations, to realize that we're marching under the orders of the King of Glory. Amen. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Listen, it's a big deal who your orders come from, right? Amen. If you were in the military and you had somebody directly over you give you a direct command, that's something. But if the general gives you a direct command, that's a big deal. But we're talking about the King of the universe has given us our marching orders, and we're going in his authority to make disciples of all nations, to baptize believers, and then to teach them to observe all things that Christ commanded. It's a huge task. It's too big for you. It's too big for me. It's too big for anybody. So Jesus says, "And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." We can't do it on our own. It's too big for us, but we don't do it alone. He never intended for us to do it alone. He's given us his grace. He's given us his spirit. He's given us his word. He's given us everything that we need, and we do it through him, through his authority, and through his power. And I want you to get this. I wanted to read verses 16 and 17 to give you some encouragement. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Listen, Jesus has appeared to them for 40 days after his resurrection. They've seen the risen Savior over and over again, and they still have doubts. Some of you have been saved for a little while. Some of you have been saved a really, really long time. God bless you. Thank you for that. Some of you have been saved a long time. Some of you saved a little time. But listen, if we're honest, sometimes we still doubt. We struggle. We fall. Listen, I want you to know that there is grace that is sufficient for you. And you can abide in his presence because he's promised his presence. He's with us. He doesn't leave us comfortless. He sent the Holy Spirit to be with us. He is with us. And we want to have Christ in our lives every moment of every day. Romans chapter 13, verses 11 through 14. Romans 13, verse 11. "And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." It's time to wake up. I love reading those verses when I'm preaching. Now it's high time to awake out of sleep. Isn't that a good one? I know I told you before about the story Steve Spires' dad, Bo Spires, used to tell the story. I think he was there that night, and the preacher got a little wound up, got a little fired up, and he said nobody would want to go to hell. But there was a fella that had fallen asleep back in the back of the church, like some fellas are wont to do. And in the middle of the sermon, the pastor said, "Nobody want to go to hell." He said, "As a matter of fact, if you want to go to hell, stand up." Well, the fella that was asleep, all he heard was "stand up." And he stood up, put his thumbs in his old overalls, and was standing back there. And pastor said, "Brother so-and-so, you want to go to hell?" He was like, "Oh, no, no, no." Sat right back down. I got to tell you, I think about that story a lot. And I'm just real tempted to try it one day. That's not wrong, is it? That'd be good. That'd be good. It's time to awake out of sleep. Can I tell you that I believe the Lord's churches have been asleep for a while? I mean, this was written to the Romans. This was early on. This is before the death of the Apostle Paul. We're talking about early in the life of the Lord's churches. We're talking about early in this thing called Christianity. We're talking about early in the spreading of the gospel in the world. And listen, it was time for them to wake up. And I'm just afraid we've fallen deeper and deeper into sleep as the centuries have gone on. And it's time for us to wake up, because our salvation is nearer than when we believe. Listen, the day is at hand. We've got to cast off the works of darkness. We've got to put on the armor of light. We've got to get busy for the things of God now, because we don't know how much time we've got. Amen. How are we going to do it? He says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. His presence is available. He is available. His truth is available. His love is available. It's His faith. It's His grace. It's His mercy. All of the things that we need to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. He is all of those things that are the armor. He is the truth. He is righteousness. He is the gospel. And so we put on the armor of light. We're putting on the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're not making provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. And can I just tell you, we do this all the time. A lot of people get shaken up by scriptures in Hebrews that talk about sinning willfully. Listen, I'm persuaded that we all sin willfully every time we sin. We sin because we want to. We lie because we want to save face. We do wrong things because we want to. We fulfill the lust of flesh. We make a way to do that. I told you before about the man who was going to take a break from donuts. So he made a deal with the Lord. He said, "Lord, on my way to work today, if there's no parking spots at the donut shop, I won't stop." But he got to work and he had donuts, and his buddy said, "Well, what happened? I thought you weren't going to stop. There wasn't a parking spot." He said, "Well, there wasn't, but I drove around 7 times and then there was." I mean, we do that, right? We make a way. We make a way to fulfill the lust of the flesh. But if we would put on the Lord Jesus Christ, if we would abide in His presence, we might avoid those things. I like what the Bible says back here in Exodus chapter 33 and verse 12. Exodus chapter 33 and verse 12. Moses said unto the Lord, "See, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name. And thou hast also found grace in my sight." Do you hear what God said to Moses? God says to Moses, "I know you, Moses. I know you by name." Do you realize how precious that is? Not only that you know him, but that he knows you. Amen. And he said, "You found grace in my sight." Then he says, "Now therefore I pray thee." Moses prays, "If I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people." And he said, "My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest." And he said unto him, "If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence." Moses says, "Listen, Lord," because the Lord got angry with Israel, and he said, Y'all go on. Just go on, you rebellious, you stiff-necked, you hard-hearted people. Go on the way you want to go. And I'll just stay right here." And Moses says, "Oh, Lord, no. No, if your presence isn't going, I don't want to go. If your presence doesn't stay, I don't want to stay. If you go, Lord, I will go. And if you stay, Lord, I will stay." We want to be in the presence of God. And that ought to be our desire every moment of every day. I don't want to go anywhere that Jesus isn't leading me to go. And I don't want to stay anywhere that Jesus doesn't want me to stay. I can be in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ every moment of every day. And why would I want to be anywhere else? Amen. Why would you want to go without Him? Why would you want to stay without Him? We have Jesus and He's with us, and we can put Him on and we can abide with Him because He is with us always. Amen. He's with us always. I'm going to jump back to the New Testament now, to Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 8. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 8. I've got several verses here I want to look at with you, so stay with me. Ephesians 3 and verse 8. He says, "Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ." And what an incredible blessing. This humility that Paul had was not a false humility. It was genuine humility. He said, "I am not worthy, but I get to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ." And by the way, you don't have to be a pastor to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. You don't have to be a missionary to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. You can take the gospel to your coworkers and to your family and to your friends and to your neighbors, and you can tell them of the glories of your Savior, Jesus Christ. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is for your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." Man, there's so much there you could preach for months and months just on those verses. But I just want you to get it, that God has made himself known to us through his Son, Jesus Christ. And by faith in Jesus, you have boldness and access with confidence to God. And you can be in his presence. And according to the riches of his glory, you can be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. And though the outward man perish, yet the inner man is renewed day by day. And you can comprehend the breadth and length and depth and height and know the love of Christ that passes knowledge. I know a lot of you sometimes get down on yourself. You think, I don't really know much. I'm not very educated. I feel that way sometimes. You know, I didn't get a seminary degree, and I don't have a doctorate in theology. And sometimes you get to feeling down about yourself. You don't feel very smart. You wish you had more education. You wish you were more intelligent. But I want you to understand something today. If you are born again, if you have been converted, if the Spirit of God lives in you, then you can know the most important thing in the entire universe. You can know the love of Christ. Amen. Listen, there's no seminary degree, there's no amount of education that can come close to what that can do in your life and in the lives of those around you. If you would understand, if you would comprehend, if you would know his love. Amen. And can I just say, you got a pretty good education on his love when you realized how sinful you were and how greatly you needed a Savior. And you called on his name, and he saved you. Amen. You got a pretty good education on how great his love is when you were born again. Amen. But that's not the end of it. You can know more and more and more and more. You'll never exhaust the depths of his love. You'll never reach to the heights of his love. You'll never get from one end to the other of his great love wherewith he loves you. Can I just tell you that the message tonight is all about Jesus, and he is wonderful. Amen. And he is an amazing Savior. Amen. And you get to know him and abide in his presence. Philippians chapter 3, verse 8. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 8. It's really important that we don't neglect this truth. Philippians 3 and 8, Paul says, "Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death." Listen, all they that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. If you have a desire to walk with Jesus, if you have a desire to abide in Jesus, if you actually live your life in the presence of Jesus, there will be suffering that will come with that. And Paul said, "I want to have the fellowship of his sufferings." If my Savior suffered for being obedient to his Father's will, then I want to suffer too. Listen, let's just be honest tonight. Most of us have no desire to suffer. Listen, I don't even want to have a headache. But I'm a pastor, so I got lots of headaches. That was supposed to be funnier than you took it. I guess the truth hurts. I don't know. That's what Mama always said. I don't want to be hungry. Hey, can you guys be honest for a second? Are any of you scared of being hungry? My brother, there. I see you. I see that hand. Anybody else be honest tonight? God bless you. Like, I don't like being hungry. I don't want to have a headache. Hey, you know one of the reasons I don't work out very often? Because every time I do, I get sore. I haven't figured out how to exercise without getting sore. If I could figure that out, I might work out more. Listen, we don't like to be uncomfortable. Y'all gonna make fun of me later. I don't care. You guys remember Brother Pinkovich was here? You remember what he said about American churches? Remember? He said, "We like to be comfortable. American church is too comfortable." And everybody's like, "Say what?" And I was like, "Amen." Yeah, we want to be comfortable. We want the temperature to be just right. We don't want to be hungry. We don't want to be in pain. We want everything to be just so. But listen, when you abide in Christ, when you are living in his presence, there will be consequences to that. The world will not like you. You will lose friends. People will block you on Facebook. I'm just saying, if nobody's ever unfriended you on Facebook, you're probably not living for Jesus on Facebook. Some of you are like, "Challenge accepted." Listen, our suffering in America right here today is almost shameful to even call it suffering. But I'm telling you that there's going to be some things you're going to have to give up. And Paul says, "I count all the stuff I lost for Jesus, it's nothing but dung." If you don't know what dung is, you can ask your mom later. Listen, he says that I don't care about any of that stuff. I'm happy to lose my position, to lose my prestige, to lose my influence, to lose money, to lose whatever I have to, that I can be close to Jesus, that I can live in his presence. We can live in his presence. Are you living in his presence? Can I share one more passage with you? 1 John 1, 3. 1 John chapter 1, verse 3. I submit to you that John was a man who knew the love of Jesus. I submit to you tonight that John was a man who didn't just abide in Christ while he was here, but he continued to abide in Christ till the day he died. He refers to himself as the disciple that Jesus loved. And he certainly was a disciple who loved Jesus. He knew something about being in the presence of the Lord. He was with them from early on. He was one of the ones who was very, very close to Jesus. He's the one who the Savior entrusted his mother to when he died. I mean, this man knew something about abiding in the presence of Jesus. And this is what he admonishes us with. In verse 3, he says, "That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ." Hey, let me ask you a question. Do you love the fellowship with one another? I love the fellowship that we have. The Scripture teaches us to weep with those that weep and rejoice with those that rejoice. We can laugh together and we can cry together. We can hurt together and we can celebrate together. We can just work together and serve together and do life together. And there is a fellowship that we have that is sweet. I want to say that it's an amazing thing to me that it's not confined to just our local church either. Everybody I meet anywhere in the world who has Christ, who knows Christ, who has the Spirit of God in them, there's an instant connection. Amen. It's a beautiful thing when you meet somebody from somewhere across the world and you get to talking to them and you find out that they're a brother or a sister in Christ and there's a fellowship and it's sweet. There's really nothing like it. Amen. But John says, I want you to have fellowship with us. With us who have known Jesus, with us who have seen Jesus, with us who have heard Jesus. I want you to have fellowship with us. And by the way, that ought to be our desire. I mean, when you go and you talk to your friends or your family members, others that are outside of the church, others that are not saved, that ought to be your goal, that ought to be your desire. I want you to have this fellowship with us. But then he clarifies, but it's not really about the fellowship with us. Really, it's about our fellowship with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. That's what the reason we have fellowship. He says in verse 4, "And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him, and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us." Listen, friends, if you are in Christ, it means that your sins have been forgiven. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, has cleansed you. And we're to walk in the light. Does it mean we're sinless? Does it mean we're without fault? No. It means that if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Why? Because if you say you have no sin, you're deceiving yourself. If you say you have presently no sin, you're deceiving yourself. As I believe this, I've heard some people real critical sometimes, and I think it's tough getting the you got to define your terms these days. Because when I say a term, it doesn't always mean to me what it means to you. When I use a term, it means something to somebody else. I've heard a lot of people my whole life real critical of the idea. A lot of Baptists have this thing where we rededicate ourselves to the Lord. And I've heard people critical of that, that you shouldn't rededicate yourself to the Lord. Well, it may mean something different to them, but I got an idea that you ought to rededicate yourself to the Lord every day. Amen. Every moment of every day. Every moment of every day, you ought to be checking yourself. And if you're getting off to the right hand or to the left, you ought to repent and get back on track. You take your eyes off Jesus, you ought to cry out to him, "Lord, save me and get me back on track." Like, it ought to be a constant thing of rededicating ourselves to the Lord. Maybe it means something else to somebody else, but I'm just telling you, that just means that you're trying to stay close to Jesus. And if you say you have no sin, you're deceiving yourself. And by the way, I just feel like really, if we were all really, really honest and we were all really, really humble before the Lord, every time we had an invitation to church, the altar would probably be full. If it's not, it's because we've really already spent a lot of time on our knees before we ever got here. I'm going to let that simmer a second. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. I can go from a right heart to a wrong heart. I can go from having pure thoughts to wicked thoughts. And I just figure I'm not alone. And I just submit to you that if you haven't spent some serious time getting thoroughly right with Jesus and pouring out your heart to God and asking God, Lord, search me and try me and see if there be any wicked way in me. Lord, forgive me for that wicked thought that I had. Lord, forgive me for that harsh word I said to my family. Lord, forgive me for that thing I did. Lord, forgive me for the way that I drive. Yeah, all the wives in here are like, amen. Listen, I don't know what it is. Maybe before you came to church this morning, you needed to ask God to forgive you for what you watched on Netflix last night. But I just figure if you didn't spend time thoroughly getting right with Jesus before you came to church, then you ought to be in the altar at the end of every service. I just believe that. Because if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. But listen, friends, if we're abiding in Christ, we're going to keep short accounts with God. When you have that wicked thought, you're going to be quick to get it right. When you have that wrong attitude or that wrong thing that you do or fail to do the right thing, you're going to be quick to say, God, please forgive me. Please help me. And it's not that we're perfect. That's the whole point. It's that we recognize that we have sin, so we're quick to confess it. Amen. And we don't abuse the grace of God. But we don't ignore the grace of God. Amen. So there are those who say they have no sin. Then there's those that say we have not sinned. If you say you have not sinned, you make God a liar. So what we need to do is confess our sins because He's faithful. He is faithful. He will always forgive. And He is just because Jesus paid the price. You can be just. And so our fellowship is with Him. And if we are walking in His presence, we are walking in the light. You know, the psalmist David said in Psalm 27:8, when thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. There's times of refreshing that can come from the presence of the Lord, but we've got to get ourselves in His presence. We've got to turn off the television, we've got to turn off our devices, and we've got to spend time in prayer. We've got to get out of the bed and spend time in the Word of God. We've got to quit wasting our time entertaining ourselves to death and spend time praying and studying the Word of God and meditating on the Word of God. We've got to start filling our hearts and minds with Him all day, every day. Listen, I'm not saying that you can't ever watch anything out, you can't ever do anything else. I'm just saying that He has to have the priority if we're going to abide in Him. And let me just tell you, there's been some amazing times. And if you've been saved for very long at all, I figure there's been some amazing times when you've been in the presence of the Lord. Amen. Have any of you had really good time worshiping Jesus at church? Have you ever had some really good time praising Jesus at church? Have you ever had any good time praising Jesus at home? Amen. How about when you're driving? Man, sometimes I'm driving and I'm singing and them people looking at me, I don't even care. Because I'm in the presence of the Lord. Amen. And it's a time of refreshing. Psalm 31:19 says, "Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of man. Thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues." I'm just trying to tell you and encourage you tonight that you personally have to have time in the presence of the Lord. And when we fear Him and we seek His face, when we pray and we study His word, when we sing His praises, His presence comes. His presence comes. And that's where revival happens. That's where we have the times of refreshing from the Lord. And oh, how we desperately need it. I want to ask you to stand with me. I ask the musicians to come. I wonder if there's somebody here tonight who's like me. I'm easily discouraged. I'm easily discouraged. And I need the refreshing of the Lord. There's times that we just want to give up. There's times that we get really tired. There's times that we get really sad or really depressed or really afraid. I'm just telling you that whatever time you're going through, His presence is available for you. And if you will seek His face, His presence can come and refresh your soul. Maybe you need some refreshing tonight. And maybe there's not been a time today that you got seriously and thoroughly right with Jesus. Maybe for the first time in a long time tonight, you wouldn't stand there and pretend that you have no sin. But tonight you would get serious before the Lord. And you would come and you would confess. Come and confess. Any unconfessed, unrepented sin in your life, anything that He's putting a burden on your heart about, you would come and you would confess. Revival is up to you. Refreshing is up to you. It depends on how you respond to His word, His truth, and His spirit right now. If He's working in your heart, you come while we sing.